One of the things that fascinates me about war is the individual's fight to overcome his own inner fear. Whether it's the fear of their death, serious injury, or just letting their brothers in arms down. One of the best films I've seen, in my opinion, that portrays this very, very well, is a film called Saving Private Ryan. The portrayal is so powerful. If we look at the first scene of the men packed together on a landing craft as it drives them towards the landing beach. Their fate unknown, their fear, though so strong. Later in the film, there's a climactic, chaotic final battle. We see a young corporal who's been forced into combat from his role as a linguist, who is weeping and trembling and is paralysed in fear when he's face to face with an enemy soldier. The movie shows the overwhelming nature of fear, the horror of fear at its greatest. And my title for this morning's talk is The Fear of God. The fear of God is not like the fear for trade and saving private life, something terrifying or dreadful. It's actually the fear of something wonderful. The Bible has numerous accounts that tell us to fear God and fear the Lord. It asks, do you want riches and honour, happiness, friendship with Almighty God? The scripture says, then fear God. Do you want to know the love of God? Do you want to bring great pleasure to God? Do you want to learn to fear no one and nothing else? If you do, then scriptures say that you fear God. Do you want wisdom? Then fear the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Do you want God's protection? Do you want God's blessing? Do you want God's provision? Do you want to lengthen your life? Then fear the Lord. So the message is quite clear then. But how do we know this? Because Bible scriptures shows us. God said it, the prophet said it, Moses said it, the apostle said it, and Jesus also said it. It is there in black and white, time and time again. It's the right thing to feel. Fear of the Lord is good. It's the right thing to have. When we think to Moses and the burning bush, Isaiah in the temple, Pharaoh when the plagues began to fall, the Babylonian king, Belshazzar, when he sees the hand begin to write on the wall. The disciples when Jesus approached him in the dark of night walking on the water. When he calmed the sea. When he brought them the great catch of fish. When he raised the dead. When he cast out the demons. Do you remember their response? Yes, they were afraid. Jesus later took Peter and James and his brother John and led them on a high mountain. As the men watched, Jesus appeared to change, so his face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Then Peter blurted out, if you want me to, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as he said it, a bright cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, and I am fully pleased with him. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. And if we look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, it says, call all together men, women and children, and the foreigners living in your town, so they may listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully obey all the terms of his law. Do this that your children who have not known these laws will hear them and will fear the Lord your God. This is a message we very seldom hear these days. Why? Because it seems we're transfixed on the love of God only, which is obviously not an altogether bad thing. But we should see that to fully appreciate the love of God, we also need to learn to fear God. We need to understand his amazing fierce and judgment before we can fully appreciate his amazing grace. I thought about this more and more of late and asked myself, when I look at things that go on around us and observe our country and our leaders, both political and religious, and how our culture and our values have changed, I find it really saddening, and I can easily see that in reality Britain has lost its fear of God. Psalm 34 says, the angel of the Lord encamp around them that fear him. O fear the Lord, you, his holy ones, For those who fear him have no want. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And as I've said, the Bible states many times, fear God, fear the Lord. But surely, isn't he about kindness, tenderness, love and forgiveness? So what does it mean? Why should we fear God? What does it mean? Why should we fear the Lord? Now, I've struggled to find an answer to this question in the past and more recently when preparing for this sermon. But whilst I was carrying out my research for today, I came again on an extract from C.S. Lewis's book of Narnia, Jill and the Silver Chair, which I believe gave me a better understanding of what it means to fear God. Now, Jill is a little girl who is a central person in the story of Narnia, and it's about how she develops a relationship with Aslan, the Lion of Narnia, who is the Lord. This relationship becomes so close, so tender, and oh so precious. A loving relationship so special, it's hard to imagine that it could be. But the relationship actually starts with Jill fearing the Lion. We start the story with Jill encounters Aslan, the Lion, at a stream where he's standing. He's huge, he's menacing, he's awesome. Are you thirsty? Asked the Lion. I'm dying of thirst, said Jill. Then drink, said the Lion. Maybe I could. Would you mind going away while I do? Asked Jill. The Lion answered with only a look and a low growl. And as Jill gazed at his motionless bulk, she realised that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move away from for a convenience. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her frantic. Will you promise me not to do anything to me? Jill asked. If I come, I make no promises, said the Lion. Jill was so thirsty that now, without noticing it, she could come a step nearer. Do you eat little girls? I have swallowed up girls and boys, women, men, kings, emperors, cities and realms, said the Lion. And he didn't say this as if he were boasting, nor as if he were sorry, nor as if he was angry. He just said it. I dare not come and drink, said Jill. Then you will die of thirst, said the Lion. Oh dear, said Jill, coming in on step nearer. I suppose I must go and look for another stream then. There is no other stream, said the Lion. This made me think we should fear God in a number of different ways. Firstly, it means we should be in awe of God, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and physically. We should be overwhelmed by his holiness, his power, his purity, his righteousness, his justice, his greatness. The Bible tells us no man can see God and live, because his awesomeness is too overwhelming. To fear God is to be in complete and total awe. Secondly, it's to have reverence for God, to honour him, to worship him, with great adoration, and to pay homage to him. This reverence should leave us in great awe of God. It should affect us in the same way as when we witness some great wondrous event, like a total eclipse of the sun or the power of a hurricane. The fear of God has the same effect on people. It's awe and reverence which causes us to tremble before him, and to wonder at him, and to walk in obedience, to be moral, to want to be pure and pleasing to Almighty God. Then there is the fear of dishonouring God, or disobeying him, or disappointing him, or displeasing him. This is something that reminds me of my relationship with my father. He wasn't hugely tall, he wasn't powerfully built, he didn't have a booming, deep voice. But he was proud, stern and forthright, and at times a bit scary. When I was with him, there was always a need to be respectful. It was as though there was an imaginary line that he didn't cross. But I always knew he had my back, had a sense he was there watching over me. It's like that with God. We can enter into an intimate relationship with God, but we can never really be casually familiar with God. But you know what? More than anything else, I always wanted to please my father. I wanted to come to his expectations. I wanted to be what he saw in me. I had a fear of letting him down. That's the way it is with God. That's what it means to fear God. We can say this when we look at the relationship the disciples had with Jesus. They desperately wanted to please him. His fearsome holy love is what ultimately drove them to risk and eventually lose their lives for his sake. Now at this time, we're remembering the Reformation. I think of the German reformist Martin Luther, and how for his actions he was accused of disobeying the Pope, dishonouring the Church, and misrepresenting God's truth. He was brought before the Emperor Charles V at the court of Worms in 1521. It is said that Luther, when brought before such an authoritative gathering, he was overwhelmed and was visibly shaken, so much so he was unable to explain his actions when asked to do so, and asked for time to think it over. It was assumed incorrectly that he was overawed by the presence of the Emperor, the Lord of Austria, because he was only a simple monk, a peasant, and the son of a miner. How they underestimated him. His reasons have been explained in his biography by Roland Bainton, where it says it wasn't because he was in the presence of the Emperor that made him afraid. It was that he knew that he and the Emperor would both have to answer to God for their actions. He showed the next day when he said, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not count anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen." It showed he was trembling because Luther feared God more than he feared the Emperor. Luther showed he understood what it meant to fear God and didn't wish to let him down. Now these things that I've talked about so far are quite harsh. A little bit fire and brimstone, so to speak. Maybe, dare I say, a little Old Testament, that type of fear. But as I said earlier, isn't God about kindness, tenderness, love and forgiveness? Isn't there a softer or sweeter side of this fear? I believe there is. So let me try to explain. Ask this question, but I know the answer to it. Have you ever done something nice for someone? Somebody very special, you know, a very clear, dear old friend, a special relative, or your wife, or your husband, somebody you love very much, someone you wouldn't want to let down. Maybe you cooked them a special meal or a cake at a surprise party and brought a special present. And even though you think they will love it, there is still that little nagging fear in the back of your mind. They won't like it. Or what if it doesn't go to plan? There will be that all that awkwardness on both sides, maybe even tears, or worse still, an argument, maybe even a fallout. Now ask yourselves, is this really fear? Or is it maybe that you're just a little frightened? After all, this person loves you like you love them. It's not as though they're going to beat you or be thoroughly horrible to you. Is it that your fright is born out of your desire to serve them, to please them, and to show your love and gratitude? Is this not like holy fear? Is this not a loving anxiety to please the one who loves you more than any human can? Fearing God begins with a sense of fright before God. It's not the same as being afraid before God. One Episcopal writer has said, "To fear God is to stand in awe of God. To be afraid of God is to run away from Him." You see the difference? They're close to one another, but they're different. And once a person moves from the fright of God to the fear of God, he can then begin to understand the love of God and the humble gratitude to God that God desires us to know. If we put the emphasis on obeying the laws of a frightening God, we only produce an unhealthy kind of fear of God, and it results in a type of legalism. In other words, a slavish fear of a punishing master, and that's not what it's about. That's not what God desires. Paul shows us the meaning of this in Romans 5. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption when you cry out, 'Abba, dear Father.'" I also think the Apostle John gives us a good example of this in the 4th chapter of his first letter. God is love. Love is being perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. It tells us that there is no fear in love, and that perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. So fearing God in the right way and loving God go hand in hand. They're in fact a pair. Psalm 147 says it this way: "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." We're able to see with time The right kind of fear for God will drive out the fear of other things and other people. Oswald Chambers said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear no one, nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. As I said, with time, we can get to the place where you have no fear. But it's a long, long process. Now the kids of today wear a brand of clothing called No Fear. But they have fears. I also have fears. But of course, I don't have the clothing. It doesn't look good on a man my age. And I know there will be things that you're afraid of. But that's okay. We're still on that journey. We're all at different points along the way. That's because we are still learning to fear our Lord. So how do we learn to fear? How do we learn the fear of the Lord? Now I'm no expert. As I said, I'm still on that journey. And I don't even think my train's left the station yet. So far be it from me to tell you how to fear the Lord. But I'd like to make some suggestions. Understand that the fear of God comes from one place only, and that's God himself. We have to ask him to teach it to us. This is because as natural people, we don't necessarily have a sense of fear of God. For example, pagans aren't afraid of God. Why should they be? The prophet Jeremiah said that God will put his fear into our hearts. So ask him to teach us the proper fear of God. Reflect upon God's character. When you read the Bible, don't just read the bits you like. Read all of it, even Revelation. If you don't, then you may be missing the most important lesson of your life. Think to yourself, what does this tell me about God and his character? If you can read it every day, not all of it, obviously, your boss may have something to say about that, but read the Proverbs and the Psalms. These are good tools to teach you about the character of God. Think about them and what they say. Look at the scriptures and ponder their meaning. Also study the lives of the believers. Read about the saints and the martyrs, the ordinary men, the women, the boys, and the girls who have gone before us and who followed the Lord. Read about people like Wesley, Whitfield, Augustine, Rhys Howell, the great Scottish intercessor, Brother Andrew, Jim Elliot, and others. Learn from the lives of others who have learned to know God. Open your eyes to creation. If you want to learn to fear, wonder about its beauty, its innocence. I'm afraid. How it was created and by whom? Try to spend time in it every day, even if it's just for a brief moment. Savour it, soak in its beauty. Once you do this, realise that God created this, all by his word alone. If that kind of power doesn't make you fear God, then nothing will. But its beauty and its innocence, and that he chose it for us to live in, also shows us to love. And greatness also shows us the love and the greatness of God. Preserve and actively seek out fellow Christians so you can join in fellowship with them and share in corporate worship of Almighty God. Come together before God to sing, to pray, to read his holy word, and to reaffirm our faith in God together. Protect our fellowship and worship of God so that it is kept true to him, so it is not changed in some casual user-friendly system that loses all sense of transcendence of Almighty God. And remember, a God before whom we need to have no fear is not God. It's just an idol we have made with our hands. Our joy in God will be proportionate to our fear of God. Thank you.